everyone, and welcome to the Permaculture Podcast with Scott Mann. As promised, this is the Mulch Show. I'd like to say that it's going to be fun, interesting, crazy, sexy, and exciting, but no, probably not. This is about mulch after all. I don't go to bed late at night thinking, in the morning I get to go out and mulch. But I do really like the benefits that I get from it, and it's something that's important to have in your toolbox and to consider when you're working on a design and installation. Because of that, in this show, I want to answer a couple of questions, and they are, what is mulch? Why should you use it? What can you use? And what are some of the benefits and things you should know about using each product? Where can you get it? How much is it going to cost you? And just some basic techniques on mulching. Before we begin, though, please, if you're on Facebook, like the show. You can go to facebook.com/thepermaculturepodcast. You'll find us there, log in, click like, and you'll have my deepest gratitude. Also, please tell a friend, share a link to the show with them, thepermaculturepodcast.com. Also, use that same URL to stop by the website. Check out what's going on. I've got video clips, links to news articles, all kinds of information about what's going on in the world of permaculture is out there on the show site. So if you'd like to know more about what's happening, please stop by, see what's going on. So then, mulch. What is it? At its most basic, mulch is simply a ground cover. That's really it. What benefits you get from mulch depend on what product you happen to be using. And it can be an organic material, an inorganic material, a living material, but we'll get to that in a second. Why should you use it? Well, mulch really makes your life a lot easier when it comes to maintaining a design. Because mulch helps you keep the soil from becoming compacted under a rainstorm. Also, if you use mulch within your garden paths, it helps keep the soil beneath it light. As it breaks down and introduces organic material into the soil, it helps build the soil structure. It encourages earthworms to come up to the soil surface because of the protection that's offered by the mulch. It acts as habitat for a wide variety of spiders, insects, and other small creatures. It helps regulate your soil temperature, in addition to helping water get into the ground by breaking up the rain that falls onto the mulch and letting it seep through to the soil. It also helps keep more moisture in the ground by protecting it from wind, the bright rays of the sun, the heat of the day, and prevents those different types of evaporation from occurring so that the water stays where we want it, in the ground. It also acts as a weed barrier and helps keep the maintenance, especially within Zone 1, much easier. As I've continued to put mulch in my Zone 1 garden, I find that I can walk out and it's just a couple of minutes here or there to cover a few hundred square feet of garden space. As part of collecting my strawberries as I go out and I'm harvesting those or something else, I can just go and I can pull some of the quack grass that's grown up. If there's something in the garden bed that wasn't intentionally there or seems to be competing with something else, walk over, pull it up. Because the mulch maintains the soil structure so nicely and prevents all these things from happening, I can easily pull weeds, in addition to helping make sure that there are less of them. Those are some of the benefits of mulch. As you listen through that list, if you go, hey, you know, I'd like my weeding to be easier and have to water less, well then, here are some things that you can use to make that happen. Some of my favorite products are shredded wood or wood chips, which can be either heartwood or bark or any other part of the tree, as well as shredded paper. Now, when you're using something like this that has a high carbon to nitrogen ratio, it's generally recommended that you put down some kind of a fertilizer before you put your mulch down, because as these woody products break down, they're going to need some of the nitrogen from the soil to facilitate that. Now, in the long run, I think it's worthwhile because these materials are going to break down and help build the soil, so a little bit of nitrogen works. Whether that's you're mixing some urine with water, if you have some finished compost you're going to spread on the soil first before you put your mulch down, just something that's going to add nitrogen to the soil before you put this down. Now, when I'm using the shredded wood products, most of them are some pretty big chunks because of the fellow who I get my stuff from. So I usually have to put this down once a year, or if I put it on really thick, maybe every other year, but you will need to replace it over time. However, if you do use something like shredded paper, whether you're shredding it by hand, using scissors, you've run it through a paper shredder, and when you're using shredded paper, this should be black and white or basic colors, no glossy pages, so you're not using magazines here. If you decide to use paper that ran through your printer, whether it's inkjet or a laser printer, you can go out, usually the manufacturer's website, and ask for an MSDS sheet, material safety data sheet, and that'll give you all the information about what went into that toner or ink, and you can check to make sure that there are no heavy metals or anything else that you want to worry about, and determine what paper would be safe to add to your garden or not. But anyway, when you're using shredded paper, shred it so that it's light and airy and doesn't compact when you put it in the garden, but it is something you're going to have to replace a couple times during a season. Here in Pennsylvania, with the way that it can go from cool and wet to hot and humid to hot and dry, I'm usually replacing my shredded paper as a mulch every 6 to 8 weeks, so I'll probably replace it 3 to 4 times throughout a growing season, adding a little bit here and a little bit there as needed. Other products that are going to break down as you use them are cocoa bean hulls. And these are really nice because when you first put them down, they're a little bit moist, they smell like chocolate, and they add this really comforting feeling, I think, to the garden. And it also allows you to reuse a waste product and keep them out of the waste stream. But I should note here that there are some issues folks have had when using cocoa bean hulls, that they've had a problem with mold developing, and then had to remove and replace all of it. So this is one that you probably want to experiment with and see how well it holds up in your environment. Also, if you have dogs, cocoa bean hulls do contain the chemical from chocolate that's lethal to dogs, not in as high of a quantity as within chocolate, but it does pose a potential danger. So please consider that before using it. Something else that I like is leaf mold or shredded leaves. Again, with the maple that I've talked about plenty of times here on the show, it drops a lot of leaves, and I go there and I can just collect some, boom, put it around my blueberries, make use of it. This is something that takes a good while to break down, and if you're using straight leaves, they can form a mat and prevent water from infiltrating down to the ground. So it's usually best to either shred them with a lawnmower or a garden shredder, or wait until they've decomposed some and they've got that kind of a crumbly texture and they've turned into leaf mold, and use them then. Depending on the tree that they come from, they can lower the pH of the soil if used in large quantities. So that's something you're going to want to consider when using them. You may want to lime along with them. And the same goes for pine needles. These are one of my favorite mulches to use with my blueberries to help keep the pH low. They're another one that also takes a long time to degrade, so they're not going to be adding a lot of organic material quickly to the ground, but do make a nice cover and help prevent a good variety of things from growing up because of the acidic nature. I also really like straw as a mulch. It's easy to use, it's pretty clean. I get a lot of coverage out of a couple of inexpensive bales, all depending on who I buy from. They're $3 to $5 for a bale of straw, and it breaks down relatively quickly. So if I put it on in the beginning of a season, it may only last till that fall or the next spring. But it's simple, easy to use, and adds to your garden quickly. You can also use hay in a similar way to straw, however, it can contain a lot of seeds and wind up being more trouble than it's worth. If it's been composted, that's a better choice, or if it's gone through an animal and you've got some manure, it's another great way to use it. Manure also can be a very nice addition to your soil, both as a mulch and as a fertilizer. But depending on the animal that it comes from, please make sure that it's properly composted, or it can burn your plants. One of the first mulches that I ever used were grass clippings. I'd just go out, mow my yard, have a little bagger on the back, collect them up, and spread them where needed. Or, if I wasn't bagging them that day, had the discharge chute on, just mow so that all the clippings were in a nice little pile all throughout the yard, so all I had to do was go out with a rake, collect these lines into bigger piles, put them into my wheelbarrow, move them where I need to. Now, one thing about grass clippings is if you're using them green, again, they can become anaerobic as they pile together and get wet, and you can get bacteria growth in there, and they can really start to smell. So if you're going to use grass clippings, either use them green in very small amounts, maybe as a top dressing or as an addition to other composts, or wait until they've dried out. Give them a couple days in the sun, they'll be light, airy, and then you can use them as a mulch. You can also, as you're finishing off your compost, use that as a mulch. It's inexpensive, it adds fertility to the soil, adds organic matter, but it can also get washed away and doesn't do a very good job of blocking weeds. A lot of times when I use compost as a mulch, I'll put it on top of the beds in the early spring. Once the planting begins, go out, water them lightly over a couple of days, cultivate it into the surface a little, and then cover it up with another mulch on top of it. Those are all the things that are going to break down and add to your soil as a mulch. Some other things that you could consider using are plastic, whether that is black plastic, clear plastic, or like a landscaping fabric. I think some of those are made of spun polyester or nylon. They do really good for keeping weeds down, acting as a barrier, warming the soil in the spring, but they can break down pretty quickly under strong UV light. And I don't know if you ever handled plastic after it's had a long season out in the sun and broken down, but it can get brittle and flaky and just come apart as you're trying to collect it and leave plastic in the ground. It's not something that I really like as a long-term mulch solution, but it's something to add as part of your repertoire if you want to warm the soil, particularly early in the season. If you've got something like bindweed or another pernicious opportunistic plant that you're trying to handle, you can solarize them with plastic and kill them. It also helps to kill weed seeds that are in your garden beds, especially in zone 1. I know there are people who are using things like plastic and tarp in order to prepare beds that they'll lay the plastic out through the hottest part of the summer, then in the fall, plant some winter crops, some cover crops, mulch it heavily, and then in the spring have a bed that's ready to go without a lot of additional labor. And they also provide a good foundation to work from if you've never gardened before and are having problems staying motivated because of all the work that's going into it. I understand that plastics and fabrics have a place, so don't say no to them out of hand, but they're low on my list of what I would use. Something else you can use are stones. They're not going to break down, and they're really good at covering the soil and helping to create a microclimate because of the thermal mass that they're going to collect and hold. Again, keeping the soil and your plants warmer longer. And another product that's come online lately for use as a mulch that I've seen and gotten to experience are shredded tires. And these are just a permanent mulch because they don't break down. They're something that will stay for a long, long time. But I don't know of a place for them in our building of a garden or to use as a mulch with plants that we're going to be eating from because they do contain various chemicals. The processes that went into creating them. And I've read some conflicting articles about whether or not tires leach those materials over time or not. So I would wait until there's more research out there on tires before you use them. Though I certainly can see them having a place, perhaps as putting them underneath a pond liner to help protect it from stones and other materials. Or if you're building an area for children to use that. But there are all these other options that are out there. And the last thing I want to consider for a mulch are our perennial ground covers, or our green mulches, living mulches, things like clover and alfalfa, or, as I found, when you plant squash or sweet potatoes, those broad leaves that they develop as they grow can help to protect the soil, block the harshest sunlight from it. As the water hits it, those leaves direct the water to the ground where it'll be useful. And in an effort to not allow the ground to be bare, to protect it from erosion of all kinds, it's important to keep our ground covered. So if there's an area that you know you want to let go fallow, rather than spreading it with wood chips or one of these other mulches, spread some seeds of something that's going to be productive, a nitrogen-fixing plant, such as beans perhaps, or something that you just enjoy and find to be beautiful. But now that you've got this idea that, hey, mulch is really useful, and I know what I want to use now. Where can you get it and how much is it going to cost you? Well, as I mentioned, paper, leaves, pine needles, those you can probably get for free. I know around here a lot of folks scoop up their leaves and put them into bags to go out either to the community leaf collection or just to the landfill, so you may be able to drive around and find them that way. Or talk to your neighbors and go, hey, can I come over and rake your leaves in the fall? I'll take them away from you. If you'll let me have them. I don't know that many folks would say no to that, unless they use them themselves. Same goes with grass clippings, as I say. I'm harvesting those from my own yard. You may be able to get some from your neighbors, and bring their mower down and just drop them off for you. The other ones, though, you're probably going to need to pay for. And usually I find those at my local DIY or home improvement store, where you can find many of them by bag or in bulk. And I've personally seen both shredded and chipped wood and bark, bales of straw, bags of stones, the different plastics are available there, cocoa bean hulls. Some places sell straw, others don't. And the shredded tires, I had to call around and find places that had it. I didn't find it at my local DIY last time I was out. But you can buy them there. The more you buy at a time, the better. Usually if you buy them just in straight bulk, by the scoop rather than by the bag, you're going to get the best deal. When I talk about a bag, usually it's just a plastic bag that has anywhere from like maybe 3/4 of a cubic foot in the case of stone to 3 or 4 cubic feet of wood chips or bark. Price of bags run from as little as $2 on sale for some of the shredded wood materials, or you might pay $8, $9, $10 or more dollars for a small bag of stones because it's marble or granite or something else. Similarly, if you're buying in bulk, you're buying usually by what they call the scoop, or which is the equivalent of a yard, 1 cubic yard of material. And wood products, again, run about $15 to $30 a scoop, depending on how finely shredded they are or how coarse they are. This is a great place where you can save a lot of money if you call around between your different DIY home improvement stores or check with excavating companies. We have an excavating company here in my local town where I can get a lot of this stuff from them. Or if they don't have it directly, they can find somebody who will sell it to them that they can resell to me. I may pay a little bit more that way per scoop by going through them, but it's a local business. I know the business owner, know where they live, great people, and they don't charge me a lot of money to deliver it, whereas other companies might. But again, depending on what you buy, it's going to depend what the scoop price is. If you're buying stone, it could go pretty high pretty quickly. Now, here's one of my little secrets when it comes to getting wood chips really cheap or free, and that's to call around to lawn care and landscaping companies, especially ones that advertise that they do tree service. Because a lot of times, wind damage, storm damage, they're going to go out there, they're going to drop a tree, they're going to run it through their shredder, blow it into their truck, then they've got to find a place to take it. Around here, a lot of our community composting areas only take so much yard material before they close for the year, or a couple of months until they're ready to pass it on to other folks and start accepting more. Or it may wind up going to a landfill and just going to rot and not be of much use. And in many cases, it's costing these companies tipping fees to go dispose of this material at a landfill. And I found a couple of sources that will deliver to me for free, and some others who, they'll charge me a little bit of gas for them to run out to where I live because I'm not in their usual service area, but they'll come out and drop it off and not charge me for what they're delivering, just the cost to get it there. So it's a really great way to keep more of this material out of the waste stream, build your soil, and build a relationship with someone local by helping them save a little bit of money and help you in return. But all you got to do is call and ask. Pull out your phone book, look through a newspaper on a weekend, see folks who are doing this service, go on the internet, go to a directory service, and just look up, you know, tree service in your town and see what you can find. And I'm sure you'll find somebody somewhere who will deliver it to you. One note about this, though, if you are getting a bunch of stuff delivered to you in bulk, and it's going to take you a while to get through, especially when it comes to these woody products or bales of straw, you want to turn them, in the case of the wood products, to keep them fresh, to keep air in there so they don't go anaerobic and start to smell sour, because it's just a very awful smell when they start to break down and kind of ferment in the pile. And with wood products, really about once a month should be fine for this. Just go out there with a digging fork, kind of scoop it, turn it around. If you're using straw, I'll clip the cord that's holding my straw bales together and just kind of break it apart into some sheets and lay those out in a stack so that they can get some airflow through them. Now that you've got some mulch on your property, you've got what you want, how do you use it? Well, simply layer it over the ground. If it's something really fine that's shredded, you may only need 2 or 3 inches of mulch to act as a weed barrier and give you the other benefits. If it's something more coarse like your woody products, to act as a weed barrier, you may want to put down 4 to 6 inches. And when you're ordering these products and you're trying to figure out how much area they're going to cover, 1 cubic foot of material is 144 cubic inches. And that means that you can cover an area that's 3 foot by 4 foot, or 12 square feet, to a depth of 1 inch per cubic foot of material. So say you've got 200 square feet of garden paths that you want to cover in your zone 1 garden, and you want to make sure that you have 4 inches of material in the ground to properly cover that. You just take 200, divide that by 12, which is going to give us 1.6 and change. We'll just go ahead and round that up to 1.7, and that's going to give us 16 cubic feet and change. So we'll just round that up to 17 cubic feet to start. Then we're going to multiply that by our depth of 4 inches, which is going to tell us that we're going to need 68 cubic feet of mulch to cover your 200 square feet of garden bed to 4 inches. If you're buying by the bag at 2 cubic feet per bag, you're going to need 34 bags of mulch to properly cover that area. But this is where buying in bulk comes in handy, because every cubic yard that you buy is 27 cubic feet. So instead of looking at getting 34 bags of mulch at 2 cubic feet apiece, we look at that 68 and divide that by 27, and we find out that that's just over 2.5 cubic yards. So now I can call up my excavator or my garden center DIY shop that carries this preferred mulch in bulk. Tell them, hey, I need 2.5 cubic yards. What'll that run me? They'll give you a total, tell you what your delivery charge is, bring it by, drop it off, you're ready to go. Just pile it into your wheelbarrow, take it out, and spread it where you need to. And that's really the way that I recommend getting your mulch. Do it in bulk. It's cheaper, though it does take a bit more to work with. And I'll include these equations and the information that I have from this example in the show notes, so you can take a look at it. And it's not like, wait, let me rewind and check that out. Okay, so it's 27 cubic feet per yard. Yeah, no, just go to the website. I'll put a little cheat sheet up there, and you'll be ready to go. But as you spread this out and you get your layers built up, there are certain areas you want to be careful about. When using woody material, there is a concern about something known as artillery spores. And these are little black, like, specks of what look like tar all over a house. And these come from artillery fungus, which shoot their spores rather violently away from them and can wind up growing in mulch. So it's just something to be aware of. There's also a concern that I've heard about termites in mulch, but I haven't run across anyone who's actually had that as an issue. But it is something that's been brought up, so something to think about. Your mulch, especially, again, woody ones, can also be a boon to moles, voles, and other ground burrowers. So when you're mulching around a tree, you want to make sure that there's some space left around the base of the tree, that the mulch doesn't go all the way up to the trunk. And usually just a hand's breadth, you know, 6 inches or so, is enough space back that the mulch isn't touching that will keep the rodents and other beasties from just laying under the mulch and chewing on the bark of the tree. And this is also another reason why I encourage anyone, trees, especially when they're young and just starting out, to put some kind of a tube or trunk cover around them to protect them from gnawing. But other than that, mulch really is that easy. Just get it out there, spread it around, see what works for you, what doesn't, what you like, what you don't like, and consider it as one of the tools that you have available for making, especially the gardening life that's part of permaculture, easier. Until you hear from me again, thanks for taking part of your day to listen to another episode of the Permaculture Podcast with Scott Mann. In the meantime, take care of the earth, yourself, and each other.